and you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. On the program today, we continue our coverage of the 6th Annual Allerton Music Barn Festival being held starting tonight at Allerton Park in Monticello. It's a presentation of the University of Illinois School of Music. The Jupiter String Quartet kicks things off tonight. It's Gilbert and Sullivan's The Pirates of Penzance tomorrow night on Saturday, a program we'll be talking about on tomorrow's show, a tribute to jazz saxophonist Oliver Nelson Jr.'s particularly influential CD of his featuring the University of Illinois jazz faculty. And then today's program will focus on the final two concerts of the festival, both of which happen in the morning. The first one is on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, and it is what has become a now traditional presentation of a cantata by Johann Sebastian Bach. Fred Stoltzfus is conducting. He's with me on the first part of the program. And then Monday morning on Labor Day, it's an old-fashioned salute to Labor Day with the Allerton Winds, conducted by Robert Rumbelow, who will be joining me on the second half of our program today. I hope you'll stay tuned to Live and Local. That was a tune I'm sure you recognize, and pretty good chance you actually have heard that arrangement before in different guises. It's what Percy Grainger called his Irish tune from County Derry. Most of us know it as Danny Boy, and it was played here by the Central Band of the Royal Air Force, conducted by Wing Commander Eric Banks. And that is one of the pieces that will be on the concert Monday morning at the Allerton Music Barn Festival, called An Old-Fashioned Salute to Labor Day, which we will be talking about later this hour with Director of Bands at the University of Illinois, Robert Rumbelow. Lots of other interesting things and some surprising things on that program. But first on Live and Local today, I have my guest the head of the choral division at the University of Illinois, Fred Stoltzfus, and he is the conductor of the concert that will be happening on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, and it's simply called Bach. Logically enough, I suppose, because it has become traditional now at the festival to have a Bach cantata on the Sunday morning of the Labor Day weekend, and this year is no exception. Bach, welcome to the show. Fred, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. Good to be here.
You're impersonating Bach today. So this year's cantata, one that I am not sure I've heard of, has a wonderful name, Ich hatte viel Bekümmernis. I have a lot of something.
A lot of sorrow, a lot of sadness, a lot of deep anxiety.
That sounds really uplifting.
Yes, well, that's where the cantata starts. And it expresses in a variety of instrumental and vocal forms the various aspects of that anxiety. First of all, through a sinfonia, which I believe we're going to hear in a bit, in C minor, which displays, among other things, a precursor of the dialogue between Christ and the soul, which takes place later in the piece. Here, it's between the oboe and the first violin, and one can hear a kind of wonderful development of expressive harmony, expressive melody in this sinfonia, which sets up the capturing of the agony of the soul.
Well, let's hear a little bit of it, and we'll certainly talk about this dialogue, which has to be an intriguing one. This is a performance by the Chapel Royal and we won't hear the Collegium Vocale yet, but Philippe Herravega is the conductor from Johann Sebastian Bach's Cantata No. 21 here on Live and Local.
Thank you.
That's the Sinfonia 2, the 21st cantata of Johann Sebastian Bach, Ich hatte viel Bekümmernis, and performed here by the Chapel Royal, led by Philippe Herrevega. It will be played by the ensemble, led by Fred Stoltzfus, Sunday morning at the Allerton Music Barn Festival at Allerton Park in Monticello. It starts at 10 o'clock. And which just raises the quick question, Fred, before we talk more about the cantata itself, who's in the ensemble?
The ensemble is made up of very fine players from the School of Music and an ad hoc choral ensemble that I put together. Many of the singers have performed in previous Bach-Allerton concerts.
So they've got that experience and lots of others.
Yeah, in addition to that, Desiree Hassler is coming as soprano soloist and Ricardo Herrera is a bass soloist.
Ricardo actually was on the show on Monday. He's also in the Pirates of Penzance tomorrow night and is on faculty there. Desiree Hassler, a former student here, wonderful soprano, now singing in the Lyric Opera Chorus up in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So continuing with this particular cantata, we're going to hear some of the opening chorus.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about the progress of this cantata and some of what's unusual about it.
Okay. The progress of the cantata is from the agony of the soul to the joy of being rescued by Christ. Okay. And that's a very, very, very quick summary of what happens. The very first choral movement, which we'll hear in a moment, has as its textual incipit the title of the cantata, Ich hatte viel Bekümmernis, and it takes a motif that Bach may have partly stolen from Vivaldi, a concerto of his. Bach, in any case, did write a transcription of the piece for organ, and the text itself, which is set in fugal fashion, repeats over and over again, Ich hatte viel Bekümmernis, I had many, many sorrows in my soul. And then there's a wonderful, in the midpoint of the piece comes a great Aber, and one is one which says, on the other hand, your comfort, your joy gives me, enlivens my soul, so that I can deine Trüstung erquicken meine Seele. And it's interesting because that Aber just sort of brings everything to a great giant halt, just like the Aber in the Brahms Requiem, Aber des Herrn Wort.
Mic is off. Aber means but. It's like
somebody on the other hand
sticks the finger up and says,
"That's right."
But
that's exactly right. So it's a very dramatic kind of setting. Great agony, but your trust improves the state of my soul.
Here's a little bit of it. It's from the opening chorus that immediately follows this symphony we just heard, and the Chapel Royal now joining. The Collegium Vocale joining the Chapel Royal on Live and Local. The title track, so to speak, from the cantata 21 by Johann Sebastian Bach, Ich hatte viel Bekümmernis, I have a lot of sorrow, I am full of sorrow, and that is the cantata that will be performed at the Allerton Music Barn Festival this coming Sunday morning as the festival opens. Tonight, I'm talking on this portion of our program today on Live and Local with Fred Stoltzfus, who is head of the choral division at the University of Illinois School of Music and will be conducting that concert, which also features soprano Desiree Hassler, bass, and bass Ricardo Herrera, and the interesting progress of this cantata as it goes from darkness to light, so to speak, in the most generic sort of way, but then progressing with the first of the solos, the first aria, which comes up next.
The first aria is for soprano, and it captures the agony of the soul in tortured part writing, agonized seventh chords, and it's a very much, again, a dialogue, in this case between oboe and soprano solo. We might want to just hear a bit of it to get a sense of the ethos, the rhetoric of this. And, of course, when we talk about rhetoric in Baroque music, we're talking about what they called figurenlehre, which was a way of saying that the intensity of the text should be enhanced through the use of the figures that are put into the music to set those particular texts. And this is a beautiful example of Bach's capacity at that.
And the figures not only in the voices, but also in the
instruments.
Absolutely.
It's completely shared, in this case, with oboe and soprano.
You've used the term dialogue a number of times already. Is that essentially a theme throughout this?
I would say it is, yes, because we have the troubled soul and the redeeming, saving Christ, and it comes to a pinnacle in the dialogue aria, actually. There's a dialogue recitative and a dialogue aria which follows, where the soul says, oh, I'm lost, and Christ says, no, you're saved, and oh, I'm in agony, and then Christ says, I will help you. It's just a wonderful spiritual love duet.
And that one's coming up.
That's coming up.
But this one first, Seufzertränen, which means?
Seufzer are, it's kind of sighs, Tränen, tears, Kummer, anguish, note, emergency, literally.
Okay, and Barbara Schlich is the soloist in this case, and it'll be Desiree Hassler on Sunday morning. And that is some of the first of the several arias that appear in Cantata 21 in Cantata 21 by Johann Sebastian Bach, which will be sung Sunday morning at the Allerton Music Barn Festival, conducted by Fred Stoltzfus. Just a quick aside here, Fred, as we're talking about the cantata in general and about this one specifically and some of what's unusual about it, but what was the place of the cantata in Bach's work?
The cantata in Bach's work was the central genre of his life. He wrote more things which are called cantata than any other single thing. He started composing them in 1713, and there was a fairly intense period of composition where he did one a month, more or less, as part of his responsibilities as Konzertmeister in Weimar. And then when he moved to Leipzig and took up his position there in 1723, he was commissioned to compose one cantata per Sunday. And it's reported in his obituary that he actually composed for 5 years, five complete yearly cycles. The first of the cycle would be the Sunday after Trinity, and then it would conclude on the last Sunday of Trinity. And this particular cantata was one that he took with him from Weimar, as he did a number of others, reworked them slightly. And then this was on the third Sunday, this particular cantata in more or less the version we're doing it.
And, of course, tied into whatever the appointed lessons would have been.
Exactly. That was the other part of that. I mean, the cantata functions in two ways. It enhances the sense of the text, which was prescribed for the day in terms of the epistle or the gospel. And secondly, it uses the materials that were part of congregational sing, called chorales. So chorales and his desire to explore aspects of the meaning of the text were central to all of the cantatas.
And although what's happening on Sunday morning at Allerton is not a church service, there will be an element that would have happened when this was performed in Bach's own church, where somewhere in the middle, the minister gets up and gives a homily.
That's exactly right. He or she would have gotten up and spoken on the text of the day, and then the music elaborated on the text of the day to enhance its meaning, to make a stronger impression on the listener about what was significant about the text of the day.
And in this case, Roger Diggs, who is pastor at Grace Lutheran
Church.
That's
correct, yes.
In Champaign.
We've collaborated with him for 5 or 6 years. Mm.
And he'll do his homily in the midst of things.
He does a wonderful homily every time.
Here is the dialogue aria, the duet that we've been talking about a few times now between Christ and the soul.
Yes. The dialogue aria follows on a recitative where the soul cries out in anguish, why have you abandoned me? And Christ says, I've not abandoned you. I'm going to take care of you. And then in the aria which follows, the soul and Christ actually interact. And the soul says, oh, I'm lost. And Christ says, I'll save you. And oh, I'm lost in Christ. And it's a kind of spiritual love duet, much informed by pietistic traditions that were very much present in the time.
And I assume that the bass is Jesus.
The bass is Christ, yes.
And the soul crying out is the soprano. Barbara Schlick is the soul in this case. And let's see. Oh, it would be Peter Harvey in the role of Christ. They will be taken respectively by Desiree Hassler and Ricardo Herrera on Sunday morning. Almost sounds like a very gentle version of dialogue that we have every day between so many of us. Yes, no, yes, no.
Exactly.
But you know, exactly. and Christ sounds like a very gentle soul.
Exactly.
Well, arguing with the soul or consoling the soul
consoling
and so on.
The soul, yes.
From the 21st cantata of Johann Sebastian Bach, Ich hatte viel Bekümmernis, and we're going to hear then a little bit of the final chorus, by which the joy has taken over the whole everything.
Absolutely. Joy has taken over everything. It's a text from Revelation where it asserts with as much energy and brilliance as Bach could muster the comfort that Christ brings to the soul with this text. And it concludes with a vigorous fugue. And it also, for the first time in the piece, uses three trumpets and timpani to capture the excitement of this this revelation, this salvation.
And Revelation, the final book of the Judeo-Christian Bible, mm-hmm. Which has all kinds of weird stuff in it, you know,
yes.
Where people can not really sure. It's really surreal, and it's hard to know sometimes what's exactly going on. But I wonder if it was common either in cantatas or in oratorios for people to do that, because Handel's Messiah, for example,
sure.
ends with "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain,"
exactly.
which happens over and over
exactly.
in Revelation.
It's much the same spirit as that. "Worthy is the Lamb, das Lamm, was erwürget ist," is much the same idea in terms of giving praise to Christ for what he has done.
There are things unusual about this cantata, but many things that were sort of what one did.
Yes,
at
exactly.
the time.
And which occurred after he wrote this piece, clearly.
Well, if you're not going to church on Sunday morning, and even if you might otherwise have done, you're bound to have both a wonderful musical and spiritual experience at the Allerton Music Barn at Allerton Park in Monticello. It starts at 10 o'clock this Sunday morning. The festival opens tonight, and you can get more information on everything by going to allertonmusicbarn.com. Fred Stoltzfus is head of the choral division at the University of Illinois School of Music, and will be conducting the choir and orchestra, and will be joined by soprano Desiree Hassler and bass Ricardo Herrera. And as always, Fred, anytime you're welcome to come in and chat with whatever's going on.
Love to. It's a real pleasure to chat with you.
Here's the final movement of Ich hatte viel Bekümmernis, and the performers here again, the Chapel Royal and the Collegium Vocale, led by Philippe Herrevega. That's the final movement, final music from Cantata 21 of Johann Sebastian Bach here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our program today is made possible by Silver Creek in downtown Urbana, serving lunch and dinner every day with a brunch on Sunday. For 20 years, Silver Creek has been bringing to the table freshly baked artisan breads, prime steaks and chops, fresh fish and pasta dishes, and delightful pastries made by Silver Creek's pastry chef. And my next guest on Live and Local is the fellow who will conduct the final concert at this year's Allerton Music Barn Festival. Unusually, it's happening on Monday morning rather than in the evening. It starts at 10 o'clock, as does the Sunday program. And it's called An Old-Fashioned Salute to Labor Day, features what are being called the Allerton Winds. And Robert Rumbelow is director of bands at the University of Illinois and will be conducting that concert. He'll be joined by two soloists, soprano Yvonne Redman and trombonist Elliot Chazanoff, both of them also of the School of Music faculty at the University of Illinois. Rob, as always, thanks for joining us.
It's always a great pleasure to be here, Kevin.
Though I assume the Allerton Winds, a collection of students and faculty from
students
the university?
Students and faculty, certainly faculty principals generally, and some of our finest students in the graduate program there at the university.
So is this what would be called a wind ensemble rather than a full concert band?
It is, although all the instruments, of course, are represented. It's slightly smaller, 33 members to be exact. However, I should point out that this is about the average size of the band, actually maybe a little bit larger, of bands at the turn of the century. So this is a little bit more direct to what you would have heard going to a Sousa Band concert at the turn of the century and into the 20s.
So at what point did the band become the
these large
monolith
symphonic bands,
that we think of, that I think of?
Well, anyway, the large symphonic bands came up after World War II when men and women came home from the war and universities stocked up on individuals not only playing in bands but majoring in music. And so the large symphonic bands really started after the Second World War.
So that really was something that was that came out of colleges, you know, the needs of colleges?
Yeah, those large symphonic bands came out of university settings.
And including the University of Illinois.
Indeed. Actually, one of the major players as far as directing the course of bands, the band history, was created right here on our campus.
And we've talked about that before. And
indeed.
Won't make that necessarily a huge topic today. But Rob, of course, took over this program. What's it been?
Starting my third full year.
This is the third. I was going to say three, but I usually sell people short in the length of time they've been here because I just sort of lose track. And the notion of an old-fashioned salute to Labor Day, what does that mean as opposed to a newfangled one?
Well, you know, this was actually the brainchild of Ed Rath. And when Ed, of course, was one of our esteemed former faculty members and administrators at the School of Music, Ed had the idea to have this old-fashioned salute to Labor Day and create a Sousa-esque concert, if you will, something that not only we might have heard Sousa do, but also the kind of format that Sousa used in terms of a vocal soloist and an instrumental soloist and lots of variety to keep the program super exciting and invigorating to audiences. In that Sousa tradition is the way that we've developed this particular program.
And this program has a lot of music by John Philip Sousa on it, including some things you would expect, as it happens, The Stars and Stripes Forever is on the concert, but also some other things, for example, something called Easter Monday on the White House Lawn by John Philip Sousa.
Sure. You know, Sousa wrote in lots of different ways, and he wrote with all the popular dance styles of the day, including the ragtime, which this one is influenced by ragtime, although you'll certainly hear his march style throughout. That's the interesting thing about this one. But because of the rhythms he uses, you certainly get a feel of the ragtime. Through this idea that he's able to write in different styles, we've also thrown on a suite, and it's called a suite called Looking Upward, based on celestial bodies, and some other things that Sousa wrote that weren't his traditional marches.
So a little bit more about this, based on the Looking Upward suite. You're doing two movements from there.
Right. We're doing the outer movements. It's a three-movement suite, and we're doing the first and last movements. The first one, of course, is called By the Light of the Polar Star. It starts out very mysterious and evolves. And you do hear Sousa's march qualities come out in all of his music. But he is and wrote, you know, Sousa also wrote operettas and many other things, including some vocal works, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit later on the show. He was a full composer in a way, even though we still hear those elements that we love so much in the marches in all of his music.
Well, here is a little bit of the opening portion of the Looking Upward Suite by John Philip Sousa, By the Light of the Polar
Star.
Star. And we're hearing the United States Marine Band in this particular recording on Live and Local. Thank you. called By the Light of the Polar Star from a suite called Looking Upward by John Philip Sousa, and heard by in a performance here by the United States Marine Band. The Allerton Winds will perform it on Monday morning in their old-fashioned salute to Labor Day. Robert Rumbelow will be conducting the ensemble and is with me here on Live and Local on this Thursday noon hour. By the way, today and tomorrow are our last editions of the show where we'll be broadcasting during the noon hour. We're shifting it to 4 o'clock starting Tuesday, the day after Labor Day. I won't be here with the show on Monday, on Labor Day itself, but we'll start from on Tuesday, September 4th, 4 to 5 p.m., immediately preceding All Things Considered here. That will be the new time for Live and Local, and I certainly hope you'll be able to come with us during that shift. On this old-fashioned Labor Day-style concert, as Rob said earlier, you know, sort of what you might have heard, both in the size of the ensemble in a Sousa band and also the mix of music that you might have heard from a Sousa-led concert. But there are still some, there's still a lot of bands across the country that I imagine follow a similar approach fairly routinely.
Oh, absolutely. I think that there are several bands, historic bands that play around the country and, of course, around the world that program in a routine manner around this. And our military bands keep up a terrific tradition, like our United States Marine Band and Army Band, et cetera. Keep up a terrific tradition. Although the bands are slightly larger, they keep a tradition of this music and this kind of programming alive.
And on this concert, we've got, although we won't hear them because we don't have recordings of them, for a reason you're about to explain, we don't have any of the music that Yvonne Redman will be singing with the band. And you just told me while we were listening to this music, sort of incredible story about at least one of those.
Well, that's right. You know, one of our great resources on campus is the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, which just so happens to be right upstairs from my office. So it makes it very convenient for me to go research in that wonderful facility. We did want to pull together a few songs to feature Yvonne and to bring that element of the traditional Sousa concert to the fore on this particular concert. And we went up to look at some of the music that was written for Virginia Root, which was the vocal soloist for Sousa for many, many years. She was a coloratura soprano, and so we wanted to look at range and register and make sure something would fit with Yvonne. Yvonne went up and did some research, and so did I. And we ended up picking 3 works, 2 of which were later published in different ways, but one was never published. The very first one that you would hear, if you're able to go to the concert, The Love That Lives Forever, was last sung by the Sousa Band, by Virginia Root, and to our knowledge, there have been no subsequent performances because it's only in manuscript, and even some of the parts were missing. I put together a new edition based on the extant parts and partial score that was available upstairs. And so if you go to this concert, you're going to be able to hear this piece that may not have been heard since the turn of the century.
And that sounds like it has to be a lot of fun for you to have sort of discovered that, for Yvonne to be able to say, no one has sung this in 100 years, almost.
I think it's a terrific little tune, and all 3 of them are very entertaining. And if you've ever heard Yvonne, she has a magical voice, but she also has a magical personality, and she brings that to every performance. So I can't wait to be a part of the performance with her.
And just as an aside, she happens to be a good tennis player, but I don't
imagine
she'll be doing that.
I've heard this. Yeah, probably no tennis on a Monday morning.
And it wouldn't have been part of the Sousa tradition. Also part of that tradition, however, is having an instrumental soloist, which you are going to do as well.
Absolutely. Elliot Chesnov, of course, our trombone professor at the University of Illinois, not only will be playing in the ensemble, but will be featured as a soloist on an Arthur Pryor, a work written by Arthur Pryor, who was Sousa's trombonist for many years and actually even served as the assistant conductor of the Sousa Band from 1892 to 1902. So Pryor was a major soloist, a very historic figure, and wrote a good deal of music, particularly featuring himself. And this is one of those pieces, and we're very pleased that Elliot agreed to solo with the ensemble.
It's called Annie Laurie, and in this performance we're hearing James Erdman with the U.S. Marine Band. That was music by Arthur Pryor, former trombonist of the Sousa Band and composer of this piece called Annie Laurie, which will be on the concert Monday morning at 10 o'clock by the Allerton Winds at the Allerton Music Barn Festival. That'll be the final concert of the festival, which in fact opens tonight at 7:30 with a performance by the Jupiter String Quartet. James Erdman played the trombone solo with United States Marine Band in that recording. Elia Chazanoff will play the piece with the Allerton Winds, led by Robert Rumbelow, on the Monday concert. And Rob and I were sort of talking as we were listening to that, you never quite know what a soloist is going to do. But for your sake, I will hope that Elliot doesn't like to go quite as, doesn't like to rush as often as Mr. Erdman.
Well, it's always fun to work with the solos because they always bring their personal flair.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I know Elliot will bring plenty of flair, but from a conductor's point of view, steady can be good now and then.
Indeed.
When it comes to pulse. Well, we'll have one more highlight from that concert to come in just a few minutes here on Live and Local. Let me mention first some of the other events you can go see and hear live in our listening area over the next couple of days, including an evening with Patsy Cline put on by Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater in Goodfield tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday at 6 o'clock, Sunday for brunch, and that continues for a number of weeks yet. Chris Darby, Ed Anderson, and Jeff Arrigo will be at Mike and Molly's in downtown Champaign tonight at 8 o'clock. University of Illinois Jazz faculty are performing at the Iron Post at 7 o'clock tonight. And Ken Smith and friends are at Bouvons in Urbana this evening at 6 o'clock. In Normal, at Illinois State University, a faculty recital by violinist Sarah Gentry in Kemp Recital Hall. That's at 7:30 tonight. Tomorrow, it's the Illinois Blues Festival happening in downtown Peoria. That starts tomorrow at 7 o'clock, and that continues into the weekend as well. And Eric Lund Quintet will be at Bouvons in Urbana tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Boneyard Jazz Quintet at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 5. Dan Hubbard is at Main Place Bar and Grill in Decatur Friday evening at 6 o'clock. The Susan Williams Blues Band, also in Decatur, at Jim and Joe's Friday night at 8 o'clock. And Denise LaGrassa at Milo's Restaurant in Urbana Friday night at 6 o'clock. Finally, the Aduki Trio playing jazz at Michael's Restaurant in Bloomington Friday evening at 6 o'clock. You're listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR and Classical Music for Central Illinois. WYL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available on the Corkscrew's Facebook page. And I mentioned that performance by the University of Illinois Jazz faculty at the Iron Post tomorrow night. The jazz faculty will be performing at Allerton on the Saturday night concert, a tribute to Oliver Nelson, a fine sax player who also had a particularly influential recording that they're going to be kind of recreating, as I understand it. We'll get details on that tomorrow, including one of our guests who will be the son of Oliver Nelson, who is Oliver Nelson Jr., who happens to be not on faculty here, but is now a student at the University of Illinois in the jazz division. So that should be a fun conversation on tomorrow's Live and Local during the noon hour. Rob Rumbelow, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. We'll look forward to the next time.
Thank you very much. And I should also mention, for those of you who are able to make it out Monday morning at Allerton to listen to the Allerton Winds Salute to Labor Day concert, there will also be ice cream at following the concert. So that's something a little unique for the Allerton Music Festival.
But I'm guessing it might have been somewhat traditional in the Sousa event?
Indeed, yeah, especially for afternoon concerts.
And so in this case, you can have your morning ice cream.
Morning ice cream.
On Labor Day. You got to remember to get up for this one. It's at 10 o'clock in the morning on Monday. And we mentioned earlier a particular ragtime piece by John Philip Sousa called Easter Monday on the White House Lawn. We thought we'd go out with that. In fact, this is a concert. This is from an album called At the White House, the United States Marine Band. I imagine this one is the president's own.
That's correct.
and heard here on Live and Local.